In this podcast, I'd like to describe for you three kind of practices you could do to give yourself a nice general diet. Now, this could apply to swimming or running, but I'll need to give you an example, probably one for each, that will give you some specifics so you can see how it's applied to each one of those. But I want you to think of this in terms of, like, if you wanted to have a good general nutrition diet, the way that you eat food, then somebody might prescribe for you, like, hey, you should have this amount of protein each day, and then this amount of complex carbohydrates, and then you should have this many in fruits and vegetables. You know, they could maybe prescribe something for you along that way, where you would want to give you a good balance of fat and carbohydrate, complex carbohydrates, and clean proteins and clean fats, and then, you know, high nutrient density fruits and vegetables and legumes and other things. So they could give you a prescription for a diet, like nothing specific. It's not for, you know, weightlifting or endurance training or whatever. It's just would be a generally good diet for people. Like, kind of like saying, hey, you should eat the Mediterranean diet, right? That's good for most people in most situations. So if I were to give you something like that in for your swimming or running, these are the three kind of workouts that I would assign for you during the week. So you would have one of those workouts would be involve short sprints. So think of like high intensity training where you would get your heart rate up for short bouts and you do a certain number of these. So short sprints. So you're really working your muscles where they have to work fast, they have to work at high power. And I mean, it's uncomfortable, it's very uncomfortable. And it kicks your heart rate up and it's gonna pump your muscles and you're gonna feel like quitting when you're doing this. And then you give yourself some rest and then you do another one. So this is gonna do really good things for your neural system. It's gonna do really good things for your muscles. It's gonna cause your brain to recruit more muscle cells to help you do that more intense workload. And it's also going to get your heart responding really fast to increases, and it's going to help your body learn how to process waste products more quickly and more efficiently. The next workout that we would assign would be long, slow distance. So this is where you would want to pick a distance that's longer than normal or longer than your race, you know, significantly longer. And you would run it at a, you would use restraint and the pace at which you're going. But your idea is then just challenging your body to go longer than normal, just to keep moving with good form. So this is gonna really help build your joint strength, because as you get into that fatigue of just going longer than normal, your joints are gonna kind of feel that and you're gonna be challenged to maintain good form. When you just kind of feel like the hips or the legs or the shoulders or whatever starting to tire out a bit. And it's also going to be good training for the metabolism, because now your body has to get better at keeping your cells fueled. And so particularly when you're doing long, slower, the heart rate's lower, your body is going to be more apt to tap into fat stores around the body to supply the necessary fuel. It's going to burn a higher ratio of fat to carbohydrates. The ratio is different for every person, but just about everybody is burning fats as well as carbohydrates when they're doing low intensity aerobic work. And if this effort can last longer than an hour, that would be really good. If it can last longer than 2 hours, that would be really, really good for the fat burning metabolism part of that that benefit. Okay, so that's some of it, but there's obviously going to be some more specifics there and there's more considerations, but just think in general, long, slow, whatever is long for you and keep it slower than your race pace. And then the third workout type would be a tempo workout, which would be about race distance. And you would do intervals that are parts of this workout that are at race pace or even slightly faster. So you're really challenging your body to perform at the level of intensity that you need for your event. Now, it really helps to have a specific event distance in mind when you're considering designing these three kinds of workouts. So even if you're a recreational swimmer or runner and you don't really do races, it's still very helpful to, in a sense, have in your mind a kind of distance that you are generally training for or around, because that will give you structure that'll help you create appropriate distances and intensities that are proportional to each other, so that your sprints have some relationship to your long and slow work, that have some relationship to your tempo work, and then the distances involved with each of these are proportional, so that you're kind of working more or less the right amount when you're doing the short sprints and you're the right amounts when you're doing the long slow. So I'm going to give you an example in each. So let's take swimming, and let's say that you are going to swim the mile, or roughly 1500 meters, or we might say 1800 yards, somewhere in there. So about a mile. So that's just a little bit less than a half Ironman distance for the swim. And yes, that's right. That's gonna put the average person swimming for roughly like 35 minutes, 40 minutes, something like that. Okay, that's if more competitive people might be able to handle that in around 30 minutes or less, you know, the more accomplished people. And those who are newer at it or don't have a long history of swimming, you know, it's gonna be up there like in the 40s, you know, to do 1800 yards or a mile swim. So that's okay. So that gives you a sense of distance. So if you were gonna do short sprint work with this kind of distance in mind, so maybe you would pick like 800 meters or yards of sprint work. And so you could break that into 50s or 100s, and you're going to swim those 50s or those 100s at very fast, quite uncomfortable, like your heart rate's really pounding when you're doing this. And so 8 100s or 16 50s, and with, let's say, 30 seconds rest in between. So just enough to let you kind of recover your breath, but not enough to let the heart rate go down too much, because we want to keep the engine hot while you go again. We don't want it to cool down and your blood pressure to reduce. We want to stay up there. So you're going to do these series, and you're going to really push. You're going to really try to build up as much resistance against your arms as you can, and you're really going to drive your body forward on every stroke, because you're trying to provoke muscle activation. This is not, you're obviously, you want to use great form, you want to use your best form, but you are intentionally trying to activate more muscle recruitment, more muscle fibers being recruited. So you want to be very intentional about this activation of muscle units. And so you're gonna be very conscientious of getting a really big grip on the water and feeling that resistance build and feeling the activation of your muscles up through the arm holding the shape and down along the side of your torso as you're pulling against that resistance. So it's going to be very, very intentional. You're going to be very intentional about shifting the weight of your torso. You're going to be very deliberate so that that torso rotation can keep up with your tempo. Okay? So that gives you an idea of the short and fast work. So long and slow. So let's say if you are regularly kind of your race or your target distance is a mile, then let's say maybe go for swimming 2 miles. This would be your long, slow day. So you'd be in the water for an hour or more, moving continuously. But you're gonna start off at a restrained pace, so that very conservative, so that when you get past your first mile, you're like, all right, I'm feeling a little tired, but actually I'm not wiped out, you know, so you can keep on going. And that's going to really help you practice just maintaining good breathing pattern and good rhythm and really monitoring your energy levels. Also, at that lower heart rate, it's going to be a little bit easier to focus on maintaining really good form. But what you may find is that although you are generally not too tired, you're probably going to start to notice some neural fatigue where you're kind of losing attention on certain parts of the stroke, and you notice it's getting just a little bit sloppier. It's not quite as clean and nice as it was before. So then you're going to have to work harder with your attention to keep form holding really well as you start to kind of feel this general fatigue set in where your energy levels are just kind of lowering. But it's really good to go on these long, slow workouts just so that you can see that your body really can handle more than you generally think it could. It's a really good confidence booster just to go out kind of open-ended, saying, well, I'd like to be able to swim this far, but let's just see what happens. So you go along and you're swimming for an hour and you're like, hey, I feel good. I think I'll go for another 10 minutes. And then you feel good. Like, hey, I'm still tolerable. Maybe I'll do another 10 minutes. And you might find yourself swimming, going further than you thought you could or you would that day. So it could be a really, really positive way to do it. But if you go out on the swim going out too hard, kind of like in race pace mindset, you're going to find that your energy is just, you're kind of wiped out too soon. And you are not ending up going as far as you thought you could or you would like to. So you got to use restraint, a lot of restraint when you start out in these longer, slow workouts. Okay, and then the third type for tempo, this is where you would set a swim for about a mile, about 1,800 yards or so. And you are going to swim all of this at race pace, or you may break it up into intervals. You're going to swim continuously. You're not going to stop at the wall and breathe. You're going to swim continuously, and I'm going to encourage you in this direction to swim continuously, but you may break it up and say, all right, I'm going to swim this 200 at race pace, and then I'm going to swim a 50 at an easier pace, but I'm going to stay moving the whole time. So what you're doing is you're allowing yourself to use active rest, but you are not using passive rest. You are not stopping. Because you know what? When you're in a race, you don't stop. You keep on moving. So it's really good habit to practice active rest, where you're training your body to learn how to recover while you're still moving forward. So obviously, if you're in a running race, you could quit running and you can keep walking. That's kind of an active rest. You can still walk. Well, you would be nice for you to have a walk type swim in your gears as well, wouldn't it? So that you're not merely like swim or stop are the only two modes you have, but you have swim and swim walk and to access. Okay, so when you're doing these tempos, you want to choose a race pace. And then the volume of that you do needs to be at least the race distance. So if you are going to do a tempo workout for a mile, then you need to, the total amount that you actually end up swimming at race pace needs to be at least a mile. So if you're going to do this in 200s, then you're going to have 9 200s. But then the 50s that you do in between each of those are additional distance. Those don't count towards the 1800, right? So when you end up, you're going to end up with 450 more than your 1800. So it'd be 9 times 200 plus 50. And so you're going to end up having your body work for the equivalent. You're going to work at race pace for the equivalent of the race distance. So that's one way of doing it. Or you could do that same kind of idea at slightly faster than race pace. And this is particularly good because you are giving yourself some active rest between those intervals. And so theoretically, you should be able to handle slightly faster than race pace. because you should be able to swim the whole race continuously at race pace. So now you're giving yourself a little bit of rest. So increase the intensity a bit so that you're going a little bit harder than race pace for those intervals. So that's kind of two variations, at race pace or slightly more than race pace. Another way to do it is just simply do a time trial. Just get in the water and say, all right, I'm going 1800 and I'm just going to kind of test out. I'm going to do a race simulation and I'm doing this whole thing at my, what I feel is my race pace. And just monitor your splits and your time and any other metrics like stroke count and tempo that you're using. And that'll give you a readout on what your training is like, what your fitness is like at this moment. Okay. So those are three examples in swimming. So let's mention an equivalent in running. So for short sprints, you could go out to the track or you could just go running along. And if you're on the track, you can use distances. So you could say, hey, today I'm going to run 200s, which is halfway around a standard track here in the United States. Or you could say, I'm going to do 400s, which is one time around the track. And you could do a set of those. Let's step back for a moment and say, what distance do you have in mind? So let's say, for instance, you want to do 5K running, which is 3 miles. So then if you're going to do some sprint work, so maybe you would pick and you would plan on doing about 1,200 or 1,500, a kilometer and a half of sprint work, maybe up to 2 kilometers of sprint work. So if you were going to do 400s, that would be eight times 400s, or 8 times around the track. So that could be your sprint set, so 8 400s with maybe a 200 rest in between. So where you walk or you jog for 200 between those sprints. And you're going to run those sprints at very high and hard pace. You're going to get your heart rate up. You're going to really work the muscles. You're going to feel like wanting to stop. You're going to feel a really strong urge to want to stop towards the end of your 400. So that's a good sign that you're running nice and hard. And so you're getting up. That's really going to work muscles in your legs that are really good, strong in your back train, up the backside of your legs and into your buttocks and into your lower back. It's going to be really good building those. It's going to force the brain to recruit more muscle fibers to help you in your running. It's not exactly the same muscles that work while you're jogging easily, but it's really good in terms of running to work your running legs in different modes to build the full range of muscle strength and joint stability. Okay. So that gives you an idea on short sprints. So then your long, slow day, if you're a 5K runner, so maybe you're going to go out and you're going to go for 8Ks or 10Ks, right? You're going to go double the distance on a run. So that could be your challenge for that day. So a 5K run maybe could be performed in half an hour if, you know, you're just a fitness runner. So a 10K run could be in the 50s or up to an hour or so running. And again, you're going to, same things that I mentioned for swimming, you're going to be challenging yourself to just maintain good form as you start to feel yourself getting more tired, because this is longer than you normally run. And you're going to just really double down on your attention to maintain that really good form, because even though you're getting tired, you can still keep running, but you're going to be really tempted to be lazy in some part of your running form. So that's where you're going to discipline yourself, is to maintain really good technique despite the fatigue. And then the third type, the tempo run, is again, you're going to use your race distance, your 5K distance, as your template for the volume that you need to do at race or slightly faster than race pace. So you could go out on a run where you say, all right, I'm going to run for a kilometer at race pace, and then I'm going to go for a quarter kilometer easy. And then you're going to do that 5 times at race pace. And so you'll end up running, 7 kilometers when you finish. But you've done a total of 5 kilometers at race pace, or slightly faster than race pace. So that would give you an idea how those could work, those three kinds of workout: short sprint work, long, slow, and tempo, kind of race tempo or faster than race tempo work. And if you did those three on a regular basis, you'd find yourself having a really nice rounded stimulation of your muscles, your metabolic system, your neural system, and your mental scape too, of just handling a range of appropriate discomforts that come with running. And you'd find yourself working the different gears that you need to handle a variety of situations and terrain, running up hills, running into headwinds, running downhills, you know, speeding up real quick to get across the street or catch up to a friend, whatever it may be. You're going to find yourself a much more versatile swimmer or runner if you have some variety like this in your workout diet. So hopefully you found that encouraging.